Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Calvary Chapel. Pastor Bill is fine. He's not one of the ones sick. He is out in Waterford today. Pastor Kirk out there is in the process of selling a home and is not able to be there, so he asked Pastor Bill to step in. So that's where Pastor Bill is, and I am here in his stead. So, and as Clay said, it does feel like we've been under attack for the last week or two or three. We just have, like you said, all kinds of illnesses and sicknesses and just different things that are happening to the body. And I thought about it even this morning as all this is happening. What we have to do is we have to go to Him. But what else do we have to do? We have to go to His Word, right? We have to go to His Word and we have to see what He says about what's going on and what we need to do. And as we cast our cares upon Him, He will be there to strengthen us. So let's open in a word of prayer and we will get going. We do lift up this fellowship to You, Lord God, and those that are extended, family and friends, and all those who are under attack, who've been stricken ill, and it's all various things, Lord God. You know them. You know them by name, and You know the number of hairs on their head. So we lift them to You this morning, that they would find comfort and peace, and they would find You in the midst of these trials, and not just those who are sick, but the family members that are around, as it hurts us as well, as we see our brothers and sisters in these conditions. And Lord God, we come before You, and we want to seek Your face and seek You this morning as we dig into Your Word and as we learn more of You. May You be blessed and glorified by all that takes place this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We'll be looking at a number of different areas today. They'll be up on the screen. It's kind of, again, a little more of a topical than a step-by-step, but hopefully it's all tied together and you will see the direction. So the first question is, think about the following things and tell me, and just think in your own head if you've ever struggled with any of these. And even today, as we look at, again, all those that are around us that are suffering with different illnesses and maladies and different issues in life. Have we ever struggled with, I'll say, our work, our faith, our kids, our spouse, our finances, life, sin, illness, all that? Are any of you struggling with these today? And I think the answer to that certainly is yes, as we see, again, family members and friends. Have you ever wondered where God is in the middle of these struggles? And I think it's another one. We all have at times. We know where He is, but how often do we feel like we're lost? Do we ever think, God, where are You? Or where is God? Do we feel like, I say, we're lost in the vastness of this world, of this universe, and all we are is these little specks? Do we ever think of ourselves like that? Do we ever think that our problems and our trials and our illnesses and our sicknesses and whatever is going on is greater than our God? And this should make us think, and think of, like I said at the beginning, we have the Word of the Lord. We have the Word of our God. What does it say? What does the Word of God have to say about what we are dealing with today and in our everyday lives? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We struggle with a lot of different things throughout our lives, and so often we wonder, like I said, where our Lord is, where God is amidst these struggles. Life at times can seem hard. We can feel sometimes even like we're all alone, even though we're in the middle of brothers and sisters. And where we three or more are gathered, He is in the midst. But so often we can be sitting here and feel alone. So we look at a couple of things, and you can see if any of them fit. And if not, I'm sure there's something else that does. We have work, and we have people that are out of work or at their work and are overworked and overwhelmed. We're dealing with grief, with the death of a loved one. Loss is overwhelming. It's more than we ever thought we could feel or bear. And maybe we have a loved one who's slipping away with cancer or another illness or is stuck in the hospital on a ventilator, and we're wondering, what do we do? How do we get through this? It could be a marriage issue. We could have a coldness, a distanceness, wondering what happened to what you used to have, what happened to that first love, and will this last? Why do we always fight? At work, your boss, they can work you hard. They can be indifferent. You can feel like you're taken for granted, passed over for promotions. Idol worship. We don't think of that much nowadays because we think of that in the Old Testament when they built up the high places with the wooden images, and that's so often what we think of idol worship. But how often do we dedicate more to our work or to our spouse or for us guys to our toys, to our kids? How often, and I felt this way, do we feel like we're overwhelmed by church and ministry because that's what we're doing all the time? So have some of those things become your idols. And then sin, just in general. You get caught out once again. That same old thing that keeps on hitting you, you think you had it licked and it got you again. You told God the last time was the last time, but here you are again. Condemning thoughts, questioning your salvation. If your struggle or your issue or your exile on an island, if it's not one of those, I'm going to guess it's one of many others that we struggle with. Our first scripture we're going to look at is Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A number of ways to look at this, but we start off with comfort, comfort. Comfort, yes, comfort my people. God says comfort twice, so we pay attention. There will be comfort for you. Now listen to what I have to say. And he tells this to Isaiah. Tell this to the people. There's comfort, but listen. Jerusalem can be looked at as a gospel church or a congregation of Israel. Either fits for us today. Her warfare is accomplished. For the congregation of Israel, the captivity is over, and iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Essentially, God has cleared the slate for Israel at this point. God, through Isaiah, telling my people, comfort, comfort, your time of exile is over. The penalty for your sins has been dealt with. Could this be what God has for us today when we look to his word? That we can find comfort in his word. We can find comfort when we listen to what he has to say. And for some of us, it could be simply is the penalty for your sins has been dealt with. It's been taken care of. The slate's been wiped clean. My child, comfort, comfort. And where does this comfort come from? What it should come from? Why do you struggle so? Have you exiled yourself? Have we put ourselves on an island out there because of, again, any of the things that are going on around us that I listed at the beginning? The penalty for your sins has been dealt with. So I always ask questions. Do we know this? His word says that the penalty of sin has been dealt with. Do we know this? Do we recognize it? And how has it been dealt with? It's been dealt with by the word. By the word that we have in front of us. Speaking to us. From here on, I want to look at some other areas and some other areas we might struggle or fight with. We're going to see what God's word has to say concerning it. This word in Isaiah was for those in exile. And for us today, caught in our struggles, feeling like we are in exile. Have we ever thought, again, like I said at the beginning, that our problem is too big for God, is greater than our God? So often in the middle of our struggles and our trials, we ask, like I said, where is God? We sometimes think our problem is bigger than God. Have we ever thought this before? And what happens then? At that point, we can kind of feel like we're on an island. It's just too big for him. He can't handle it. I'm all by myself. We're lost. We're kind of in a self-imposed exile, like I said earlier. We could be sitting here amongst our brothers and sisters, but feel like we're all alone. And a lot of times that comes from ourselves. Well, his people, in this part of Isaiah, they're ready to come out of exile, and he tells Isaiah to speak comfort and comfort. We need to see what God thinks on these things, and we need to see what his word says on these things. The question is, what does he say? So we feel far off at times. We feel distant. We feel like we're buried on that island. Insignificant. How often do we feel insignificant that we are that little speck in this vast universe? Like the vastness of life, the universe, the world, everything else seems to sometimes just crush in on us. It's just so big. What does God know or care about little old me? And we do that in our pity. We say that, what does he care about me? But this may just be self-pity, or it may truly feel overwhelming with everything that's going on around us today and the past years and the month. Or again, I do this. I look at how big the universe is. And And what does that mean for me down here in the choices I think I make, in the direction I think I'm sent? But what do? We can go to his word. We're going to look at Psalm 147, 4. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them by name. And then Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. So the universe, it is vast. The world is huge. We are small, and at times we may feel insignificant, too small to even matter. Our problem may seem too small for God to care, but his word says he knows the stars by name. He knows them by name. Our great scientists, who we always hear, follow the science, they don't even know them all. They don't even know how vast our universe really is, and they make up stuff for which they don't know. He knows them all by name. That's pretty powerful. Yet, when a sparrow falls, when this little bird, which there's a gazillion of all the time, when one of them falls, he's aware of it. He's allowed it to happen. He knows the number of hairs on our heads, or how many we should have had, or wherever we're at in that process. But the question is, are you worth more than a sparrow? Are you worth more than many sparrows? Yes, we are. So after seeing this, and after reading what God's word has to say of this, how can we think of ourselves as insignificant? Too small to matter? That our problem or issue is maybe too small for God to care? How can we feel lost in this vastness when we understand that he has named the stars? He knows everything about this universe. I believe we see here that our God cares also for all of his creation, because he knows when a sparrow passes away. But how much more will that be for us? Similarly, how often have we felt or assumed what's going on in our lives is just too big for our Lord to handle? It's not that we feel small and insignificant. Oh, the Lord could never take care of this problem. This is just too big for him. I'm going to have to fight through and struggle through this on our own. We never do that, you know. Is the rift in your marriage too big for God to take care of, for him to handle? Is the grief in your heart, and this I think is an area where we are hit so often, for whatever's going on, is the grief in us just too big that the Lord can't reach us and he can't do anything about it? It's just beyond him. So we're going to have to sit and suffer through. Our God certainly won't change these circumstances. How could he? And I know we've thought that. I've thought that. But we look back to Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Our God is infinite. Not only does he care about the sparrow and knows when it falls, and as he named all the stars, start to think about these things that are said here. And we've heard these before. Who has the measure of the waters in the hollow of his hands, a little tiny part of his hand, that's where he has all of the water in the universe. He's measured heavens with a span. So in his hand, there's heaven. So where's your problem? Is it bigger than that? But how often do we think these things? Weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. So kind of like naming the stars, he knows how much all this stuff weighs to the precise amount. So again, how big is our problem? He is boundless. He's unbounded. He's unlimited, limitless, without limit, without end. He's never ending. How big, how infinite? Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and he's measured heaven with a span. He's calculated the dust of the earth, and he's measured it. He knows the particles of dust on the earth. The hills in a balance. How big is our God? How big is your problem? How big is our God? How big is your problem? Can he help? Can he handle it? Is it too big for him? When we struggle with these things we think are too large or too big for God to handle, we have to ask, what does he say? What does he say? What does he tell us in his word? When we think our problem is more than he can handle, we need to think of he holds the heavens in the span of his hand. He holds the water in the hollow of his hand. He counts the dust. I don't think our problems are too big. But what do you need to do? We need to remember his word. We need to remember this book that gives us life. So where do we go? What do we do when at these times life overwhelms us? Whether it's marriage or job or kids or loss, and I'm going to keep on repeating these things because it's the same stuff that burdens us, I think, all the time. We feel crushed by our circumstances, that there's so much going on that it's not too big, it's not too small. We just feel like we've been buried and we're crushed. We look again at Isaiah, but this time Isaiah 41, verse 10 through 13. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. What do we do when we feel overwhelmed and that we feel like we're just being buried and crushed on every side? We go to his word. We go to his word, and he tells us here, who's with us? He is. He's with us. We're upheld in his right hand. So that hand that holds the universe and the water, he's lifting you up with that. I think it's going to be hard to be crushed when we're like that. Whatever we're struggling against, with, about, what is it to him? It's a non-existent thing. Doesn't matter. Are you alone? Nope. We know that. But how often do we feel that? How often do we make ourselves alone? I'm great at doing that. I shut down, turn into a shell, and just, you know, woe is me, pity me. He is with you. He will support you. He will uphold you. How close is he to you? That God who holds it in the span of his hand, he's actually holding your right hand. If any of us are struggling today, he wants to hold your right hand. That's how close he wants to be to you. That's how intimate our God can be with you. And the neat thing here too, this is Old Testament. This isn't after Jesus has died on the cross, which we all know and are aware that we're forgiven of our sins. This is back in Isaiah. This is back to the children of Israel. He has your right hand, and it's a word for us today. He has our right hand. Don't be dismayed or fear what's happening around you. He is with you and will personally be the one that helps you. How awesome is that? How great is that? Continuing with this line, again, when life overwhelms and we think we can't go on, we're at a loss as to what to do, we feel powerless during the circumstances of life, the trials of just day-to-day living. And that last year, that could be big, but just the trials of getting by every day could be overwhelming. And we feel that lost. We feel hopeless. We feel powerless, and we can't feel like we can't even carry on. Maybe we're stuck in trials with apparently no way out, buried by grief and not knowing what to do, mired in the pig pen of sin, like the prodigal son. Again, what do? We feel like we're buried. We feel like we have no power. We feel like we're just stuck. Well, at that point, we're going to take a look at Peter. So we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this area. I love this area. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory, called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What does God's word say about us being powerless, about us having nothing? His divine power, which we know he has, but it's given something to us. It's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's down here where we are right now. So today we have access to that divine power, that divine nature. We've been given the power that pertains to life and godliness. So if we're struggling in an area, maybe even of sin, depression, despair, whatever, We've been given the power today to overcome that, to deal with that. And how has that been given? It's through the knowledge of Him. How do we get the knowledge of Him? We go back to His Word and we ask, what does He say? Do we know Him? Yes, we do. If so, then this is available because of that knowledge of Him. If we know Him, we have access to this. And through that, He calls us to glory and virtue. We've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Because of those promises, we can now be partakers of His divine nature because of the promises that He has given us. We have escaped the corruption of the world. We have been given everything we need to succeed. So all that's miring us and burying us and making us feel small, making it feel like our problem is too big, we've been given what we need to succeed. And again, that comes by us remembering what He says in His Word. We cannot just survive, though. It's not just making it through. We can thrive. And we start to think of that. We've been given all power for life and godliness. And it's not of ourselves. So it's not us, you know, pulling up those bootstraps, girding up the loins and going out there and fighting the good fight on our own. It's by Him. It's by the one who holds you in the palm of His hand and reaches down and grabs your right hand. He's that close. You have access to that power, which gives us all we need for life and godliness. And how do we know this? And this is going to be repeating over and over. It's by what He says in His Word. Feeling lost on an island of exile, I said that kind of at the beginning. Sometimes we can put ourselves on an island. I'm great at putting myself on an island and just huddling up and closing in on myself. We can be encompassed by fear and doubts and all that's going on around us, of powers, of princes, of bosses, of people. I think this, we feel this way, I think a lot of us today, with when we look at what's going on in the political landscape and leadership around the world in the direction we see things heading. And again, you may be struggling just with that, with people around you. We have so much conflict amongst even brothers and sisters today because of the political climate and our views and our thoughts on this. What does the Lord's Word say on this? We're going to look back at Isaiah 40, 23 through 25. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when He will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. So these powers, these princes, these principalities, these leader, these people that we feel are so great and so powerful, especially again in this day and age, this last year and all that has been going on, we have felt powerless. I'm sure we have. But what does our God say? He brings those princes to nothing. So that's our leaders. Whether they're political, whether they're kings, whether they're queens or princes, He brings them to nothing. The judges, and we see that here in the way our judges are flowing with the decisions they're making, He makes them useless. Useless. And we may say they're useless today, but maybe that's His doing. But it's that He has power. They're here, then the Lord blows on them, and what happens to them? They wither, and they blow away like stubble. So like when they're, I think of it like when they're, when they were sifting the wheat, and they threw it up in the air, and what happened with the wind? The wind came through, and it blew all the garbage away. It just blew it away, and the good fell to the ground, and that's what they collected. How does our God stack up to these powers? How does He stack up to these leaders? How does He stack up to the bosses and just those around you who want to come against you? How does He stack up to them? Do we remember that in the middle of this? And sometimes we can get so caught up, like, oh my gosh, did you see what happened? Did you see who's in power? Did you see what happened? Who's in power? He's in power. That's who's in power. Our God is in power. The ones that are down here, they've been allowed to do that. By who? By Him. So what do we have to worry or to fear? Could it be trouble for our lives? Could it cause pain? And absolutely. But what do we do when we feel overwhelmed by it? We go to His Word and we see what he has to say about them in their end. And here's one that I'll say it saddens me, because it is me. This is the way my brain sometimes works. Have you ever thought or felt, thought, believed, whatever, that you're too far gone? That you've blown it again, and God just can't see you. I'm just too far gone for him to even notice me. And does he even care anymore? You know, does he even care about what's going on? So I've exiled myself on that island. I'm lost in an ocean of despair and pity and grief. And I have a perfect example of this, so you guys know a little bit the way my brain works on these things. It was many years ago, I had to teach, and I was teaching on the simple salvation that God loved the world and he sent his son to die for all of us and that we could all be reconciled. And while I was preparing that message and praying about it, there was only one person that couldn't be reconciled, and that was me. And that's the way I felt. I'm guessing I'm not alone, not necessarily today, but at times where we have felt that I'm just too far gone. And I'm going to come up here and teach his people that there's salvation for all, but not for me, because I've blown it again. So this is me, and it may be you. So we look at Isaiah as we continue. Verse 40, or chapter 40, verse 26 through 28. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them by all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Lift up your eyes. Stop looking at yourself and looking at those around and see who created everything around you. Who brings out the host by their numbers? He calls them by name. By his greatness, of his might and his strength, of his power, no one's missing. I'm not going to miss out because of the strength of his power, not mine, his. He hasn't lost any of us. Those who he foreknew and called, he knows who we are, and he hasn't lost any of us. He hasn't lost you. He hasn't lost me. And why do we speak or think this way, like our God doesn't hear, see, or care? Like Jacob and Israel, have we said, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over? Oh, Lord, you just don't see it. You just don't get it. You just don't understand it. Maybe you feel he doesn't care. Often in the midst of trial, in pain and sin and grief and loss and struggle, we can feel that way. But his word says that's not true. Verse 28 again says, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, again, the ends of the earth, the one who holds that in the span of his hand, he doesn't grow faint and he doesn't grow weary. So I'll say, when we find ourselves mired and buried in whatever it is, he hasn't grown weary of you. He's not going to grow faint. We do, but he doesn't. Our God is forever. We may grow tired. Our God never will. We may faint. Our God never will. We may be lost and paralyzed and don't understand even what's going on around us. Our God, he understands. And that understanding, it's unsearchable. So our whole thing, we go back to follow the science and understand, they don't have a clue. His knowledge and what he knows and what's available is unsearchable. It's unknowable. That's how vast and how big and how powerful he is. So how much more does he care for you and I? And it's not for a season. It's not for a time. This knowledge is eternal. It's forever. So we're going to continue to look at Isaiah 40, another area here. Often in our struggles of this daily life, we get caught up in, I'll say, the doing, in the going, in the fixing, in the rushing. This could be kids, family, job, ministry, and we can do all these things, and we can be exhausted. We could be exhausted by them. We can feel ourselves overwhelmed, feeling tired and weak. We want to run away and hide. Maybe make it back to that island of exile. And here's another thing along that line. This was me last week. We had issues with computers 10 minutes before service, and you guys know that. And then most people don't know, halfway through service, one of the channels on this microphone went south. It just disappeared, and it came back with like 5 or 10 minutes to go. I went to go into the safe to put stuff in there, and the safe wouldn't let me in. I went in my office because Pastor Bill needed a printout of something. I couldn't get the password that I had written down correctly. It wouldn't let me in. I had to go get another one, but I couldn't get to that account to get the password to update the password. And it just went on and on and on. And I had got here at 7:38 in the morning, and it was like 1:30, and I was done. Was it anything big? No. But it just all felt like it was crushing down on me. And I was not in tears, but I got home and I was just, I'm done. I couldn't wait to just get out of here and go back home. But how often is that with us and our just in our everyday lives? We just feel like whatever that circumstance, whatever that thing it is, again, whether it's work, I mean, for a lot of us, it can be even in ministry here. We throw ourselves into it, but we leave God out of it. And we want to do it on our own strength. So I was overwhelmed. I was exhausted. In all this, here amongst this people in this sanctuary, where did I try to find strength? In me. Boy, that was a failure. We look at Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. If all I would have done is thought about, and I already knew what I was teaching. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many times, like I did last week, do we look to our inner strength that we got this and can do this? I'll just go through and I'll just power on through. I mean, it can be all of us, but I think a lot of times that's a guy way of doing things. We're just going to power on through. We're going to make it through. I think of my brother Clay, Pastor Clay, who he will do that. He'll work himself to the bone and work himself weary because it's for the ministry. It's for the church. It's for somebody else. And I know that he loves the Lord and relies on the Lord, but how many times does Clay, I'm putting you on the spot, have we tried to do it in our own power? And how do we feel? We feel horrible. We feel lost, and I'm not picking on Clay because I know this is all of us. This is the way we do things. Do we remember, though, at those times, do we go back to him and go, Lord, what does your word say? When I'm weak, you are strong. When I'm failing, you increase my strength. But I have to go to him. I have to go to him. I can't do it on my own. And age has nothing to do with it. So what it says the young, those that are young and agile and they're going to fail just the same way when they do it in their own strength, when they try to do it by themselves. But what if we look to our Lord? What if we remember what his word says to us? What does the word of God say? If we wait on the Lord, our strength shall be renewed. Boy, if only I would have taken 10 minutes, went in my office, and waited on the Lord. But I'd rather do it on my own and struggle, just the way I seem to fight. He shall mount up with wings of eagles. We shall mount up with wings of eagles. We will run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. This is God's word. This is what he says. So the question then becomes, do we believe it? I think we do, but do we go to it? Do we go to it? Now, sometimes when the strength is gone, we feel hopeless. Again, we feel lost. The grief, the suffering, it can overwhelm us to the point of, again, feeling nothing. Feeling empty, we believe that all is lost. And it's not just woe is me, it can really be that everything that's going on around us, it really is crushing us, and we feel like we're lost and we're powerless. We appear hopeless. The crushing weight of all that's happening around us just buries us. And have we ever felt that way? And then what do? We need to look to his word. We're going to look at a different one today, this different one now. Lamentations 3, 20 through 24. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions will not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. Can we recall to our minds that there is hope? when we feel buried and we feel lost and we're crushed on all sides, do we remember that his word says there's hope? There's hope. By his mercy, you are not consumed. By his mercy, it's by his power, his grace, his mercy, we're not consumed. And those mercies are new every morning. So it's not like you use three of them on you and they're gone and they won't be back. They're new every morning. How great is his faithfulness? Huge. Who's your portion? Do we remember that he is our portion? Again, these are all so many familiar verses that we probably know to some degree by heart, but how often when we struggle do we go to them? Shall we hope in him? We need to hope in him. That's where our hope needs to be found. So kind of in wrapping up, just a little more to go, we think about what we've seen this morning, everything that's around us. Life, works, ministry, family, grief, loss. It can be tiring. It can be exhausting. We can become overwhelmed, especially when it seems like everything, again, is crashing all down around us. We try to push on. We attempt to figure out what to do. We work harder, and that's become something, I think, really in this day and age. I talk to friends who are out in the business world, and what is it? It's do more with less, you know, and it ends up becoming work harder, not smarter. It's because they're cutting back on people all over the place, and they want the same amount of work done or more work done. So what is it? It's just work harder. But how often do we do that in our Christian lives? I'll just work harder at it. I'll just push on through it. And then when that happens, what do? Again, we find ourselves alone. We find ourselves on that island, exiled. So we're going to look at Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. How often, again, do we trust in ourselves? We go to ourselves for strength. We lean on our own wisdom and our own understanding because we got this. And what does his word say? His word says, you lean on his understanding. You lean on his wisdom. What do? We need to trust in him. We need to trust in him with not just our workplaces and our family. We need to trust him in all we do, in everything we do. Do we acknowledge him when we're in the middle of these struggles, in the middle of these trials? Do we acknowledge that he is there with us and he will give you that strength and that he is that hope and that we will trust in him with all of our hearts? What will happen? He will direct your path. How often do we want to direct our own paths on a daily basis? I have a calendar that's filled up. I look at it on a daily basis of what I'm going to do. So who's directing my path? I'm directing my path. And then I wonder why I get lost and buried. It doesn't mean that calendars aren't good and we can't use them and follow them. But I'm certainly guilty of it. Do I get even in here in the morning and go, Lord, how do we want to handle the day? Or do I get in and I just start doing and going? All in all, so much of what we looked at today, the struggles we have, why? So often it's because we're working on our own. We're trying to figure it out. We're fighting losing battles when what we must do is look to what God says in his word. What he says to us in that holy book. So again, it goes back to the Proverbs 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. How do we lean not on our own understanding? We go to him and what his word says for understanding. That's how we do it. The inspiration, I'll say, for this message came from a song. It's the first time I had heard it. I heard it and immediately knew. It was like a week and a half ago when I was getting ready to set. I had to start to prepare. I just happened to listen to a song, and it was like, boom, this is where we're going. So it's been a while. For some of you that are new that don't know, I like to usually end my messages with a song, something that hits me. And this one certainly hit me. I've been listening to it over and over for the last 2 weeks. And a lot of you probably know it. But it tells something that I've been directing all day. And you might know the song. It's called You Say. I keep fighting voices in my head that say I'm not enough. How often do we do that? Every single lie that tells me I'll never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am because I need to know. You say I am loved. when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, you say I am yours. And I believe. Oh, I believe. I believe what you say of me. I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me. Oh, I believe. Taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God. You have every victory. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. When I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me, I believe. Whatever we're going through, whatever we're struggling with, whatever the battle is, no matter how lost we feel, we need to ask, what does God's word say? God, what do you say? When we listen to what he says, wow. I need to listen to what he says. I need to diligently fall back on this daily, hourly, always, by the second. What is he saying to you today? Saying by his word. Like the song, can we fall into him and believe and cry to him, you say. Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to daily go and find out what you say in the struggles and the trials and the busyness and the vastness of the finiteness of all of this. May we look to you to know and to want to know what you say, that you would mount us up and lift us up on the wings of eagles. Help us to be able to look to your word, to look to you, to know what you say. We thank you that we can come and we can sit at your feet and learn of you and learn what you say. We thank you for this day. May you be blessed and glorified in all that takes place in our hearts. And just help us to go forth looking to the next day to know what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.